WIT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you. Glory to God. What an honor and what a privilege it is, Father, to be able to come boldly into your presence, Father, obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, my Father. We count it an honor and a privilege, Father. And as we say all the time when we come on this radio broadcast, Father, we give you the highest praise, Father, for you will summon us into your very presence, past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way behind the veil into your very presence, Father, where your greatest desire for us to be is, my Father, in the presence of the Lord, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that you will summon us, Father. And, Lord, we pray that your presence be manifested through these radio rays, Father, into every home, every automobile, Father, every soul, every spirit, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's listening to this radio broadcast, my Father, in this hour, Lord. And that you would speak to our hearts, my Father, as you always do, my Father, building us up and edifying us, my Father, and leading us into the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, my Father. And we count that an honor and a privilege. So, Father, as the old song say, Lord, hallelujah, here's our cup. We lift it up, Father. We ask you to quench this thirstiness in our soul. You're the bread of heaven. Feed us till we want no more. Here's our cup, Father. We lift it up, Father. We lift it up unto you, Father. Hallelujah. Feed us till we want no more. And as always, Father, we'll give you all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, my Father, in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. We decree and declare, Father. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, mighty women, mighty men, and mighty children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Hey, mighty men and mighty women and mighty children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I always say this. What an honor. What a privilege it is to be able to come on this radio broadcast and to serve you. And the reason why I say it's an honor and a privilege is because I know who I'm serving. I'm serving kings and queens. I'm serving sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm serving mighty men and mighty women. You might not know that, and you might not be walking in the reality of that, but that's still the truth. Right? Because that's the word of the king. I ain't talking about no any king. I'm talking about the word of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And boy, let me tell you something. His word going to stand. Heaven and earth going to pass away, but the word of the king, the word of the Lord, isn't it? Let me... I'm talking about the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about my word, mankind's word, man, nobody else's word, nothing, anything. I'm talking about the word of the Most High God. God talked. God spoke what he said. Listen, if there's anybody we ought to be to trust in, if anywhere we ought to be a trust in, baby, it got to be the word of God, because he's not a man that he should lie. Baby, if he said it, he's going to do it. And then whatever he spoke, it's going to come to pass. It's inevitable. It got to. That's the word of the Most High God. That's the word of the king. And boy, what the king say goes. Hey, listen, this ain't no democracy. Hallelujah. That you come to no banquet of a democracy. You come to the banquet of a king. See, in a democracy, you have your opinion. You have your vote. You have your say-so. And in the kingdom, you have your opinion and your voice and your say-so too. But it don't mean nothing in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, what the king says is what goes. Hallelujah. And boy, God invites you to come, man. Listen, if he invites you to come and eat from the king's table is in the kingdom of heaven. He invites you to come on into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but man, I got faults and I got mistakes and I ain't all that right. And man, listen, he took care of all that for you. When Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died, boy, let me tell you something. Boy, that took care of man. The sin of the world, the original sin, the root cause of all the things that we do and don't do, you know, it's not according to the will of God for our life. Say, that's because we were born in a sin nature. But boy, your big brother Jesus Christ, the thing that he did on Calvary, you celebrated, but you don't really understand all that happened, boy, on his birth, his ministry, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. You know about it, and you know what it is, but you don't know why it is. But it was all there was so that you can come boldly, hallelujah, to the king's table. So that you can come boldly into the kingdom of heaven. So that you can come boldly and eat from the king's table without any sense of guilt or condemnation. You don't know, boy, that all your sins is washed white as snow. I don't care what you've done, what you don't do, what you're going to do, none of that, all that take care of by, boy, your Father in heaven. That's how much he loves you, man. That the penalty for your sin is death. Boy, he loved you so much that he paid that penalty for you. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, boy, that took care of sin for all eternity. Hallelujah. He didn't condemn us no more. He condemned sin. He declared sin not suitable for use against us. Boy, so that we can continue on in sin and it be all right? No, boy, he did that so that we could love him. He did that because he loved us. And the reason why he loved us and he showed his love for us first, even while we were yet in our sin, is so that we could grow in love with him. Hallelujah. Why? Because you say, if you love me, man, then you'll keep my commandment. You know, when I was trying to keep his commandment and live right to try to get saved and try to get the blessing of God and try to get me and all the things of heaven and everything else, trying to get the kingdom of heaven. You know, I want us to quit sinning so that we could become more righteous. He wants us to quit sinning, man, because we are saved, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because we are redeemed from the curse of the law, because we are covered in his love, because we are blessed in the city and blessed in the field, because we are healed by the Christ of Jesus, because he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord, because we are mighty men and mighty women. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are kings and queens. You might not know that. In fact, God say my people are being destroyed and living like mere men and mere women because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of what knowledge, God? A lack of knowledge on who they really are. They just satisfied with being Christians and denominationalism and different sects or different organizations and church and all that. And they listen, that ain't no bad thing. But boy, there's more to it than that. Yes, indeed, boy. There's more to it than that, boy. We call into a new life. Listen, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. It don't mean that he walk in the perfection of it, in the perfectness of it all at one time. No, you just start becoming who you already are. I told you, you don't try to live right to get saved. You live right because you are saved. You don't try to quit sinning so that you can become more righteous. You start becoming more righteous than the less you sin. You try to do it backwards. You think that the less we do, man, that's wrong, man, the more in right standing we get in God. No, I promise you, boy, that ain't what the word is saying. That ain't what the king say. The king say he made us righteous. And as we awake to that righteousness, that's what you mean. We must be sleep to it. If he tells us to awake to righteousness, that means we sleep. What you mean? That means you don't know that you are the righteousness of God. You're still trying to get what you already have. You've been made that. I told you when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, boy, all his righteousness. How righteous do you think he is? How sinful do you think we are? But boy, as change took place, man, in the Garden of Gethsemane, boy. He took on all your sins, all the sins of the whole human race, the sin of Adam, the original sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden that caused all of us to be born with a sin nature and born sinners and everything else. He took that original sin and all that Adam had and all that came upon all mankind after Adam disobedience. He took all that and placed it upon himself. To who? He who knew no sin. Hallelujah. Talking about your big brother Jesus. He took all your sins. The sins of the whole human race, all the way from Adam, all the way up until now, all the way up until the end. And boy, I'm telling you, he took all our sin and placed it in him, and he took all his righteousness and placed it in us. So we've been made the righteousness of God. Why? Because not because of nothing that you've done, but because, man, the love that your Father has for you. Hallelujah. So he made us righteous. You're as righteous as you ever going to get. All you got to do is come to the knowledge of that and start becoming that. And as you start becoming that, then you are awakening to righteousness. You're coming to the realization, man, that you're already righteous. And you start acting that way. So instead of trying to quit sinning to become more righteous, you start becoming more righteous, and then you will quit sinning automatically. Hell no. That's the way God do it. He works from the inside out. Hallelujah. He come cleanse you up, man, from the inside out, boy. He comes, man, take away that old sin consciousness, man, that we all received in Adam's disobedient man, and replace that with a righteous consciousness. So what praise, Father, so that we can begin to awake to righteousness, so that we can begin to start living right. So you're trying to stop sinning. And what we're supposed to be doing is learning how to live right day by day by day by day. And what will cause us to learn how to live right and start acting, man, according to that, and start becoming that, boy, when you realize how much your Father in heaven love you. You say it and everything else, but I'm talking about experience that love. Receive that love. See, receive comes from two words. It's a grammatical construct. It's a prefix with a word that changes the meaning of the word. The word is see. C-E-I-V-E. That's an old English word. It means to have. Re is a prefix. It means to go back or again. So receive means to have. Receive means to have again. Hallelujah. What are you talking about, Arthur? And I'm talking about, man, what the king say. I ain't talking about what the preacher say. I ain't talking about what denominationalism say. I'm not talking about religious things. I ain't talking about no sermons. I ain't talking about none of that, boy. I'm telling you what thus said the Lord. It's in your book. It's in the Bible. It's in the word of the Lord. It's in the manual that the manufacturer left man with the consumer, with the product. And if you read it in the light of that, man, you know what it's really all about. See, most believers don't read it in the light in which it's written. They read it to get sermons out of it and this and that and everything else. And that's a good thing. Like I said, don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking about there's a going on in God. To a place where you get past the good thing and you get into the great thing. What's the great thing? I'm telling you, boy, your Father in heaven loves you so much, man, that everything that he required for you to do, he knew in order to get in right standing with him and be reconciled back to him, he knew that in and of ourselves we could never accomplish that. So he loved us so much, boy, that he fulfilled a promise that he made, man, to mankind way back in the garden. He came himself in the person of a man, and we call him Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And took care of everything, boy, that needed to be taken care of on our behalf so that you and I can be reconciled back to God. The word reconciled means another dramatic construct. It comes from the root word concile, where we get our word consolidate from, which means to make one. So reconcile means go back and make one again. What receive means to have again. Receive it. Rehab it, grab a hold of it, feed it, and place it in your possession. Right? That's what you had once, but you lost in Adam. Receive it again. Come get it back. Come be reconciled. When you was one with God and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that relationship that Adam and Eve had with God then, man, unbroken fellowship, man, walking and talking with God all through the day, 24/7, man. Hey, listen, not only God, man, with them, but God on the inside of them. You know that's what the Holy Spirit is? When you talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, man, to cut to the chase, that simply means, boy, God can once again come and take up residence on the inside of you. Not among you and not around you, on the inside of us. But that's the presence of the Lord, man, not just with us, but in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What that is, Arthur? Oh, that's God in us. If he's in us, boy, he's with us everywhere we go. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there too. In other words, say, even when you die. That word hell, that means Hades, man, when you die physically. You say, even when you die physically, I'm there too. What you there for, Lord? I'm there to do the same thing to you that I showed you that I did in Jesus Christ. To do what? To raise you from that death. And set you at my right hand, just like he's seated at my right hand. Hello. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The good news about, boy, a kingdom, the king of the kingdom, and what the king says. I ain't talking about what he said through the prophets and through Isaiah and Jeremiah. And that's included in it. But I'm talking about something greater than that. I'm talking about what he said before he even had to speak through the prophets. Even before he gave Moses them laws and everything else. Listen, mankind died from Adam all the way up until Moses. They ain't even had no law during that time, not the Ten Commandments. All the way from Adam, man, all the way to Moses, man, is 2,000 more years or so. You know, hallelujah, 2,000 years from Adam to Moses. Chronological, biblical speaking, man. And mankind died from Adam all the way up until Moses. And then Moses came in and came with the law. And man still died from Moses all the way up to John the Baptist. But boy, in the fullness of time, God sent, boy, I'm talking about his original son. He fulfilled a prophecy that he had prophesied way back in Genesis chapter 3 when he promised Adam and Eve and mankind. He said, hey, y'all done messed up now, and I got to leave y'all. I can't live on the inside of y'all no more. But I promise you something. Hallelujah. What did he promise Adam and boy? He said, I'm going to come myself. I ain't trusting this to no angel, to nobody else. Hey, I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction that your disobedience, man, has caused you to be birthed into. You can't save yourself. Hallelujah. But I promise you, I ain't going to leave you this way. I'm coming, man. That's the prophecy that God prophesied. See, well, boy, there's coming the king. And then the prophet started prophesying it also, too. But he had already been prophesied by God himself. He said, boy, the seed of the woman. Hello. The same woman who you deceived. That same woman that made her less than the man and subjected to the man. That same woman, boy, I'm going to use that same woman and through that woman and that seed that's going to come through that woman, going to restore that woman back to her original place where as a queen in the kingdom. And restore Adam back to his proper place where as a king in the kingdom. Who is Adam and Eve? That's all mankind. That's all mankind. From Adam, man, when God was talking to Adam in the garden, he was talking to everybody. Hallelujah, because everybody was in that one body. Everybody come from that one body. God told that one body to be fruitful and multiply and subdue and rule and reign and replenish the earth. Make the whole earth, boy, hallelujah, a colony of him, an outpost from him. Hello, that's what the king said. But the king said, let's make them just like us. Let's make who? Let's make mankind. How? Just like us. Just like who? Just like the Father God, the character and nature of Almighty God, the attributes of Almighty God, the word of Almighty God, the presence of Almighty God, the nature of Almighty God, character, and in his likeness. That means to live like him, to function like him. To walk like him, to talk like him, to think like him, to act like him, to live just like him. Let's make him like that. Well, if, with our character, with our nature, living man just like us. Hallelujah. That's what the king said. That's what the king said in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy. If the church can ever get back to that, man, and start building men, our ministry and our lives and our destiny, man, from there, well, that's what God spoke through the prophet. That was just a schoolmaster. That was in the old covenant. We in a new covenant now. What's a covenant? That's a contract between God and the people. So the Old Testament was an old covenant. That's an old contract. He didn't do it. When he came himself, he didn't come to do away with the old covenant. He came and fulfilled the old covenant. He came and fulfilled all that. All the law that God told Moses, man, that gave to the children of Israel for the key. Hey, Jesus Christ, come kill every last one of them laws. Tipping on all points just like us, yet without sin. What he was doing, he was living a life that God required you and I to live. Tipping on all points, yet without sin. He was living a life that God intended for Adam to live in the garden. Tipping on all points, yet without sin. He was living, man, the life that God required you and I to live. And then after he lived that life for us, then he took upon himself the penalty for our sin. What's the penalty for sin? The penalty for sin is death. The first death was separation from God. They got separated from God. That God that was living on the inside of them, man, left. And he was no longer on the inside of them. But one thing about him, boy, he loved his children so much, he never left them. He just couldn't live on the inside of us no more. Hallelujah. Because, boy, he can't live in an unclean vessel. He a holy God. And when man became unholy and an unholy vessel through rebelling against the law of God, what's the law of God? I ain't talking about the one he gave to Moses. I'm talking about the original law that he gave to Adam. What law he gave to Adam? He said, Adam, all these trees in the garden, you can eat off any one of them that you want. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat off of that one. Why? Because if you eat off of that one, then you're going to separate yourself from me. You're going to die. That's the day that you eat off of it, you're going to die. What do you mean? You're going to separate yourself from me. I'm your source. I'm your life. If you're not hooked up to me and I'm not hooked up to you, then you're going to die. Well, you're going to lose that life. You're going to lose your spiritual life. You're going to lose me. You're going to lose your dominion. You're going to lose your sovereignty. You're going to lose your identity. You're going to lose your power. You're going to lose all of the kingdom of heaven. You're going to lose this Garden of Eden, this atmosphere, and this environment that I'm planting you in. You're going to lose all of that. You're going to die. Why? Because you're going to die. What? You're going to separate yourself from me. That's just like you pull a plant out the ground, and the first thing that happens, boy, it stay green. It's still green. But it started withering away and dying. And eventually, well, when you come back in a few days, a few weeks, man, it is green and gone, turn to brown, it even go back to the dirt where it came from. Why? Because it got separated from its source, well, the earth. Well, that's the same thing that happened, man, when Adam and them disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and ate on the tree. Well, they got separated from God. The Holy Spirit that was living on the inside of them, which mean boy God in them, left. And without the Holy Spirit and the life of God on the inside of them, then how can they live the life that God required them to live? They don't have a connection no more. How could they continue to thrive and grow and be green? How can that plant thrive and grow and be green if it's separated from the soil? If it's separated from its source and sustainer, it withers away and it dies first. Why? Because it's separated from the source. So it's dead. And then it started decaying, really away, what, and dying, what, going back to the dust of the ground from which it came from. That's the same thing that happened, man, with Adam and Eve, man. They got separated from God. Well, let me tell you something about the love of God. Even when they got separated from God and God, man, couldn't live on the inside of us no more, God never left them and God never forsook them. In fact, boy, the old covenant, man, was all about that. Because God told Moses, man, give to the Levitical law. He said, hey, bring the people out and tell them to build me a place where I can tabernacle with them. That's the setting up of the tabernacle. We made the place the tabernacle. The place ain't the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means to cohabitate with. So God told man, Moses, man, to tell the people to build me a place where I can cohabitate with y'all. I can't live on the inside of y'all no more, but I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I'm going to always be around you. I'm going to always be a very present help in your time of need. I'm going to always be forgiving you of your faults and mistakes. I'm going to always be redeeming your life. I'm going to even set up a system here where you can make an atonement for your sins once a year, man, and cover all the sins of the people for the whole year. And you can do that year after year after year. Why? So that I can continue, hallelujah, to tabernacle, what you mean, cohabitate with y'all. Until I can fulfill, boy, the promise that I made to y'all in the garden when Adam and Eve ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when I promised them that I was going to come myself and redeem their lives from this destruction that they done found themselves in. What destruction was that? Separation from God. That's why I tell you on this radio broadcast, boy, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that sin that separated us from God, hallelujah, boy, it's been taken care of and paid in full. Listen, not so that we could sin, but so that we can come on back into the presence of the Lord, so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can come on back into the family of God, so that we could take our place, man, as who we really are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Kings and queens, man, on the earth, glory to God. Rulers over circumstance, situations, and symptoms, not over people, but over all them devils and demons and circumstances and situations and symptoms that will keep us from the knowledge of the truth of who we really are, ruling and reigning over there, dictating to it instead of life, its circumstances and situations and symptoms dictating to us. How come life, circumstances, situations, and symptoms dictate to us and kind of got us under public strain and control? Because you don't know, man, what this thing is really all about. You didn't made man Christianity a religion. Hey, man, Christianity is not no religion, but the traditions of man that made man the king's word, the word of God, of none effect. We've been preoccupied with the tradition, where the tradition now means more than the word of God. Yeah, I know the, what you mean, Arthur? Yeah, I know the word of God said this here, but man, we've been doing it this way for years. This is how it was in my grandmother's church there, and this is how it was, man, when my great-grandfather them had there. And we're going to maintain them traditional way that they set up in the earth. And the Bible says your tradition that made the word of God of none effect, where the word had taken the place of the word of God. So you got more confidence and faith and trust in your tradition than you have in the word of God. And as a result of that, then the word of God, what word to say that you are king and that you are ruler and that, boy, you all that you can come on back into the kingdom of God and be reconciled to God and take your place in God as Adam and them had in the Garden of Eden, that you can come on back into the Garden of Eden and start living your life from there. And start becoming, boy, who God created you to be. Start becoming that. That's why I say you awake to righteousness, and you are sinning less and less. That's what the Bible says. The Bible don't say stop trying to sin so that you could get right with God and get what God has for you. No, it says awake to righteousness. Realize that you are the righteousness of God. And start living your life from a righteous perspective, from a righteous consciousness, from being in right standing with God. Instead of trying to get in right standing with God, hey, start living your life because you are in right standing with God. Little by little by little, line up on line, precept upon precept. Just like you started living your life in this natural world when you was born into it. You didn't know how to walk and how to talk and how to live and how to act. You grew up into that. But boy, when you come into the kingdom of God, man, you come into the kingdom of God as a newborn baby. What you, how you come into the kingdom of God, man, when you receive what the king say? Boy, what the king say, boy? He so loved the world and all those who dwell in it. That's all of us. What world are you talking about? The universe? No, that's chaos. That's COSMOS. That's cosmos. I'm talking about KOSMOS, the Greek word. And that word, man, means the arrangement or the pattern of operation or the system that governs, man, a territory. Hallelujah. What it is, boy? The arrangement, the pattern of operation, the systems that govern, man, this earth. That's the world. And, boy, he set up a world. He set up a system. He set up, man, a governing system. He set up a world on this earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Who? The king. He set up a pattern of operation. He set up, man, a governing influence on a territory called earth. And he set up an arrangement on that territory. A pattern of operation, a system, a way of life. He called it the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's what he set up. That's the world that he set up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The kingdom of heaven. You see that Garden of Eden that you hear about and everything else, but you don't understand, man, that God placed Adam and Eve in. That's the kingdom of heaven. He placed them in the kingdom of heaven. He planted that spot on the earth. He planted that environment. He didn't trust man to go find that. The Bible says, then he took the man and placed him in that place, in that environment. And from that place, he told him to be fruitful and multiply and become, boy, what I see. What he said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. What he say? Let them. And that's the arrangement that he set up. Let them rule and reign. Let give them kingship. Let give them dominion. And boy, he set that world up on the earth. And he showed mankind the end, the finish line. What's the finish line? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. What's the finish line? And God said, this is the finished product. Let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them, who, mankind, let them have dominion. Let them have kingship. Let them have rulership. Let them have power, control, and influence over the earth. Hallelujah. So God created man. In his image, created he them. Male and female, created. So he created man, and then he created man and gave man two, come in two models, a male man and a female man and a woman. They're both man, they're both spirits, but they come in two models, a spirit with a body that have a womb and a fetus and a male man, a body boy that has the blood, man, and the life that's in the blood and the blood of God, man, on the inside of it. Hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? For being fruitful and multiplying and producing, man, a whole family of sons called mankind. That's everybody. For what purpose, man, says all mankind would be in God's image, character, and nature of God, and in God's likeness, functioning like God, living like God, talking like God, acting like God. Hey, God set that up, and that's the end result. The Bible says, so God created them. And then it's saying God blessed them. And in other words, that word bless, I mean, they put the seal of guarantee on it. He said, that's a done deal. I'm empowering them with everything that they have need of to accomplish that. How he blessed them, boy? He released on the inside of us himself, the Holy Spirit, his life. So that, boy, his life that's living on the inside of us can begin to be manifested, boy, in our soul. Then our soul, what's our soul? Our mind, our will, our emotions, our attitudes. And then our soul was related to our physical body, and our physical body was manifested on this physical earth. And boy, it would be what God originally intended, boy, from before the foundation of the world. Well, that God would be fellowshipping man with his family and sons, unbroken fellowship. Walking and talking with us in the cool of the day, the life of God. And we becoming everything that he say that we are. We having everything that he say we have. We doing everything that he say we could do. We being everything that he say we could be. And we having everything that he say we could have. Becoming who we already are. Hallelujah. Masterpieces, why? Because we are piece of the master. Sons and daughters of God, why? Because we all spring from God. We come from him. His little children, his little sons. That's the world he set up on the earth. And he set that destination. And then he backed all the way back up, man, and then he started. He showed us the finish line first. Well, that's what the king said. When it's all said and done, baby, that's what it's going to be. See, if you're in the Christian religion, you think, yeah, man, you know everything that you're doing is so that you could get to heaven. No, man, this ain't what this about. This ain't what the word of God in the Bible is about. Hey, listen, this Bible ain't about God. Ain't trying to get you to heaven. God, boy, loves you so much that he sent heaven back to you. I tell you, he set up heaven on earth. And there he placed you, in that place, in that spot. I tell you, the Garden of Eden is heaven on earth. The presence of the Lord on the earth. Hallelujah. All the attributes of the kingdom of heaven and the atmosphere and the environment that comes from there were on the earth, on a spot on the earth, with an open door into a delightful place, the literal presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And there he placed the man. And from there he told the man to be fruitful and multiply, make the whole earth just like this little Garden of Eden. That's the arrangement that he set up on the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, that's when all hell broke loose. Adam and Eve, them men, disobeyed the commandment that God gave them. Well, they rebelled against the word of God. They committed high treason. They gave aid and support to the enemy of God and the enemy of mankind. Who are they? The devil. They submitted their authority, man, to the devil. The dominion that God gave them in the garden over the earth, they gave it to the devil. And instead of, boy, being a earth like it is in heaven, instead of whole earth being a Garden of Eden, the whole earth became the garbage dump that it is. Sin and evil, good and bad, sickness and health, poverty and wealth, life and death, hatred, racism, all the things that's going on in this world that's here on the earth today, all the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache, all the brokenheartedness. Instead of being on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. That's a result of one man disobedience, Adam, that plunged our world, our earth, into the world that we live in here on this earth. But there's a very familiar scripture that you all know as Christians. God so loved the world. What? The original arrangement that he set up. That he sent his only begotten son. That world that we lost in Adam, he came himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness through his shed blood on Calvary, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God, so that the Holy Spirit then that left us when he left Adam and Eve can once again come dwell not among us, but on the inside of us, man, the life of God, so that we could start living our life, man, how? The way God intended for us to live it, huh? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you and the word of the King. What's the word of the King? The gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The good news about the kingdom. The good news about what kingdom? Not any kingdom. The good news about the kingdom man of heaven and the kingdom of God. What's the good news about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? That kingdom has come and is here. It was on earth one time in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but boy, Adam them lost it. Boy, Jesus Christ came, man, 4,000 years later after that, man, and man brought it back to this earth. Cleansed you and I up from all our unrighteousness so that you and I can come boldly. Past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, past all the traditions, past all the rituals, past all the sacrifices, past all the ceremonies, past all the having church, all the way into the presence of the Lord, man, where we can learn how to be the church. Glory to God. We've been preoccupied with the means. What's the means? Having good church. And, but when we have good church, we think we done a good thing, man. And the reason the whole purpose for us having good church, or even being assembling ourselves together, is not for us to have good church, but for us to learn how to become the church. Hallelujah. And when you become the church, then, boy, let me tell you something, what happened. Boy, a whole different thing take place. You thought you don't be caught up in the rituals and the ceremonies and traditions no more, boy. You ain't got but one agenda, man. That's the reestablishment and the advancement of God's kingdom back up on this earth. How you do that, Arthur? You do that, man. How you establish God's kingdom and advance God's kingdom back on the earth? Winning souls to the kingdom of God. We try to win souls, man, to our denomination, to our ideology, to our belief system, to our religion. Just like all the other religions, man, competing against one another. Man, we even reduced Christianity down to a religion where they got to compete with all the other big four religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Muslims, Allah, Buddha, all these other different religions. Man, that's a sad day in the kingdom of God, man. Christianity ain't about no religion. It's about a king. The word Christ, man, it means a reigning king. He ain't no man president or no prime minister or no prophet or no. He a king. Glory to God. He a king of a kingdom. Hallelujah. And the kingdom that he's the king of is the kingdom of heaven, the unseen realm where God lives in. And, boy, his greatest desire, boy, is to create a family of sons. That's you and I. That's mankind. That's creating his image and his likeness so that he can commune with us, so that he can fellowship with us, so that he can hang out with us. So there'd be no unbroken fellowship, boy, with God and his children. I tell you, boy, he don't want to talk to you through the prophet. He want to talk to you himself. He wants you to come boldly into his presence, man, and get to know him yourself. He wants you to have a personal encounter with him. He don't want you to know of him and about him. He wants you to know him for yourself, boy. That's the invitation that he's saying, man. Come. I ain't talking about, man, joining the church and shaking a preacher hand and signing your name on the church roll. That's good, man, but I'm talking about something greater than that. I'm talking about, man, coming on back into the very presence of the Most High God and shaking, man, the Lord Jesus Christ's hand and getting your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, listen, you can get your name wrote on a church roll, join the church, man, and shake your preacher hand and split hell wide open. I heard one man say a long time ago, you might well sign your name on a barn and shake a donkey's tail. That'll get you into heaven faster than that will. But boy, when you glory to God, when you can, man, hallelujah, hallelujah. Instead of joining, listen, that's all good. But instead of just joining the church, man, becoming a member of a church, man, hey, join the family of God. Be born into the family of God and become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Instead of just shaking the preacher's hand, hey, you shake the Lord Jesus Christ's hand. Instead of just writing your name on the church roll, get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, that'll get you everlasting life. That'll get you eternal life. The Bible says whoever's name was not written, man, in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It didn't say whoever's name was not written on the church roll. It said whoever's name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And boy, I'm telling you, man, that you can come right now, man. In fact, your name is already recorded there. And all you got to do is come and sign it or just put a check by it and receive it. Hallelujah. But boy, you die and don't put no check by it and don't receive it, man. Oh, Lord. You don't want to do that. That's why I come on this radio broadcast every chance I get to tell you, man, that, boy, I'm talking about that's an invitation, man. Every time I come on here, boy, that's an invitation. The invitation is for you to come on home. What you mean? Come on back, man, into the family of God. Come on back, man, into the Garden of Eden. Come on back into the kingdom of heaven, man, that God set up on the earth for you to live in the Garden of Eden. Come on back into that righteous place that Adam and Eve had with God before they ate out the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Come on back, man, into your true identity. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, redeemed from the curse of the law. What do you mean redeemed from the curse of the law? Hey, listen, boy, there's a law in the kingdom, man. And let me just mention them, man. We haven't been talking about but one or two here today and for the last few years. We ain't gotten to the other one yet. But there's some law that God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And the first one is the primary law. It's a law of life. What's the law of life? I told you, boy, what the king say, go. It's power in the king's word. His word is law. And his word stands. And his word, man, I'm talking about, it goes. That's the law of life. Well, and what the king say. Isn't that God for hearing what a man say to you and prophesy to you and everything else? But, boy, when you can get God to talk to you himself, oh, Lord, that's what you want to do. That's why he wants you to come on into the very presence. He wants you to hear from him himself. He wants to talk to you himself. That still quiet voice that you hear, man, sometimes you might not recognize and understand it yet because you're not fine-tuned to it. But, boy, he wants to talk to you himself. Glory to God. He wants to commune with you himself. He wants you to hear his voice yourself. He wants you to be trained up and everything else so you can understand his voice, that you can fellowship with him yourself. I tell you, man, he ain't trying to save you, us. He didn't already save us. And what he's doing is bringing us to the knowledge of it. And listen, sometimes, man, it can be a difficult thing, man. You know the greatest opposition of that is religion and religious leaders. Listen, Jesus Christ comes preaching this same message that I'm telling you, man, but the religious leaders, man, they rejected it. They say, hey, listen, we've been doing it this way and everything else, and we got Moses' laws, and this is how we've been living, and this how we've been trained up to be. And who you think you are coming to tell us? Who you think you are talking about all your sins is forgiven? That's blasphemy. Who can receive forgive sin but God? You say, that's right. I am God in the flesh. And I come to tell you that all your sins are forgiven. And not only that, man, I tell you what, man. You say, I show you there ain't no difference, man. Hey, right, he told a man, rise, take up your bed and walk. So not only do you say all your sins is forgiven, but you say this, and all your diseases, all your sicknesses, everything else is healed too. I come to redeem your life from that destruction. What destruction? Good God Almighty. Of sin and death and sickness and disease. Hallelujah. What do you say? All your sins is forgiven. Then you say, rise, take up your bed and walk. Not only all your sins are forgiven, but rise and be healed. In the mighty authority, man. When God created you, he created you well. He created you healthy. He created you, man, where sickness and disease couldn't even come dwell near you in your dwelling place. He created you holy and without blame, where no sickness, man, or sin was in your body, man. And he telling you, man, come on back to that place. Yeah. That the way that already been made for you to come back into that place. Yeah. What's the way, man? That's Jesus. What's the truth? What he said. That's why the devil don't ever want us to come to the knowledge, boy, what Jesus said, what he preached. He don't mind us coming to the knowledge of what he did and who he is and how he died up on the cross while sin and the redemptive work of God. What's the redemptive work of God? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news about Jesus Christ and all that Jesus is and all that Jesus did. And how he was born, man, of a virgin. And how, boy, he grew up and gained wisdom with God and man. And how that boy at 30 years old, boy, he began a public ministry, man. And, boy, he began to preach, boy. He died on the cross for all our sins. And then he rose from the grave early Sunday morning, man. He preached all that about who he is and what he did, but you don't know why. What that is, that's the redeeming work of God. And don't misunderstand me, man, that got to be proclaimed, but it got to be proclaimed in an order in which God designed for it to be proclaimed. What order is that, Aunt Moore? What did he say? Somebody say, what do you say? I say, boy, that's a gospel that's greater than that. What? That gospel is a good message. It's a good news. But boy, I'm telling you, boy, that's a means to an end. What? To a greater news. What's the greater news? Not the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus preached. See, the gospel of Jesus and the gospel that Jesus preached are two different messages. The gospel of Jesus is the good news about Jesus. The gospel of Jesus that he preached is the good news about you and me. What's the good news that he preached about you and me? That as he is, so are we. That the works that he did, so can we. And greater works. What did he preach? As the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you. What did he preach, man? All your sins washed white as snow. What he preached, man, you can come boldly back into, boy, your rightful place in Christ Jesus, all of the kingdom of heaven. Your inheritance, man, is yours here. I couldn't bring it to you. Come get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What he preached, man, come get your deliverance. Come get your free gift of salvation. Come get your free gift of righteousness. Come, man, come get, man, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come get your identity back. Come get your sovereignty back, man. Come get your raw power back. Come get your kingship back. Come get your crown back. Why? Because it's all been made available to you. I've done everything that it takes, man, for all that to be restored back to you. Hallelujah. What he preached? He preached the good news about us. That our lives is redeemed from the curse of the law. That sin no longer have any power and authority over us no more. You know if sin don't have no power and authority over us no more, that means, man, death don't have no power and authority over us no more. Listen, the penalty for sin is death. But boy, because of what Jesus Christ done for us, boy, the gift of God that came in Jesus Christ, and because of what he done for us, hallelujah, we've been made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans chapter 8 says this here, boy, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who receive that good news that he preached about them, who accept the free gift of salvation, who accept the free gift of righteousness, who accept the rightful place, boy, that they have in Christ Jesus, who accept, man, all their salvation, all their provisions, all their deliverance, all their everything that, boy, Jesus Christ died up on the cross for us to have. Boy. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not his benefit, who forgive all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. What he was doing, he was preaching the good news about us, boy, that everything that we lost in Adam has been restored back to us, boy, and that we can, man, come on back into the kingdom of God and start living our life, man, with a righteous consciousness, man, and just start becoming who we already are. Who are we are to bear what the king said about us? What he said about us? That we are his offspring, created in his image and his likeness, covered in his love, without blame, holy and acceptable in his sight, just like him. How come we don't have no faith in that? Because you ain't been preached that. You've been preached the gospel of Jesus. You got a lot of faith in Jesus and his death and his burial and his resurrection and everything else, but you ain't got no faith in me, your death and your burial and your resurrection. You died with him, too. You was buried with him, too. And just like God raised him from the dead, man, so has God raised you from the dead, too. Who? You who were dead in trespasses and sin, has God raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly place. What's that, boy? That's the gospel of the kingdom. What are the that he raised you up to? and made you sit together with Christ Jesus too, that as he is, so are we. But the way he lives, so can we. So the same thing that we saw him do upon his earth, man, how he ruled and reigned, man, what he did, he preached the good news about the kingdom. What the good news about the kingdom of heaven that is here? And that, boy, I'm going to fix you up so that you can come on back into it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, boy, let me tell you something. Why come we ain't walking in reality that the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? You ain't heard the gospel of the kingdom. You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and never know nothing about the gospel that he preached. How you know that, Arthur? Hey, listen, you don't know nothing. Most of y'all that understand my voice, man, you know, you've been brought up in. You do the math. Like I tell you, how many messages have you heard, man, in your upcoming, man, and everything else that was all centered around the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell? That's all Jesus Christ. Everything that he was talking about, man, was pertaining to them. The subject matter to everything that he said, boy, in them four gospels, man, and that he did in them four gospels, boy, was pertaining to that good news of the kingdom of heaven. What's the good news of the kingdom of heaven? That is here. And you can come on back into it. Now, not in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven where the day of rejoicing is going to be. Yes, it's going to be that way too. But I'm talking about you ain't got to wait till you die, man, to start experiencing heaven, man. You can start experiencing heaven right here and now. Not in its fullness. The fullness of it ain't here, ain't manifesting on the earth yet, but it's already done. And you can just come on into the kingdom of heaven and start living your life on there. What do you mean come on into the kingdom of heaven? Come on into your free gift of salvation that your Father has provided unto you. Come on back into your right standings that you had in God before Adam and Eve them ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come on back, man, boldly to the throne of God, man, and obtain mercy and find grace to help you in the time of need. What you're saying, Arthur, that you can come on, you can come to him no matter what the deal is, no matter what the circumstance is, even when it seems like you're backing up against the wall, ain't no more hope, boy. You can come boldly to the throne of the Most High God, into the very presence of the Most High God, and obtain mercy and find grace to help you any time you need it. Hallelujah. And boy, all you, and that's why we preach, man, that's the gospel of the kingdom, boy. And at that beginning, that's what's being preached in the world in this day and time. In time past, God spoke that through the prophets, man. And from John the Baptist, or from Moses, or from Adam, all from Genesis chapter 3, all the way up until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets was preached. But boy, God came himself, boy, and his son, Jesus Christ, and fulfilled the law and the prophets. I told you, he kept all the commandments. And he fulfilled everything the prophet was saying. When the first prophet came and said, the seed of that woman going to come and bruise your head, that word, man, take back the authority. Head mean authority. Come take back the authority that Adam gave you that belonged to all mankind. Come take that authority back from you, strip you of all your power that you have over them, take care of the issue of sin so that you no longer have any power and authority over their life no more. And, boy, give them back their sovereignty, their dominion, and their royal power so they can go into all the world and let the world know that God loved them so much that he was in his son, Jesus Christ, hooking mankind back up to them to himself, not imputing our trespasses against us, not holding our faults and mistakes against us, boy, but redeeming us from that curse of the law and restoring back to us our righteousness that we lost in Christ Jesus. For what purpose, Father? So that we can begin to live righteous. And the fruit of righteous living is holiness. And holiness, man, means being just like God. He didn't say try to get holy. He said be holy. Be who you already are. Be saved. Be healed. Be delivered. Be blessed. Be provided for her. Be who God said that you are. Be there. Start being there. Start becoming there day by day by day, forever and ever and ever, constantly becoming who you already are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Listen, boy, I love y'all, man, and God love us too, man. And he want us to know, boy, that living here, he gave us power over all the powers of our enemy and that the devil don't have no authority over our life. He told them, boys, he said, go preach the gospel of the kingdom and cast out devils and heal the sick. And, boy, I've come preaching to you the gospel of the kingdom, and I cast out every demon and every devil and every demonic spirit that would try to hinder you and keep you and your family and your children's children for generations to come from coming to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom, I cancel that devil's assignment against your life. For the Bible says, if this gospel is